Hello, and welcome to an extra bonus edition of Far From Home, the message of Daniel. Daniel chapter 8, verse 27 is not the kind of verse that you want to run into when you're a preacher. Chapter 8 of Daniel is all about a vision that Daniel says, and at the end of it, in 8, verse 27, Daniel says, "I was appalled by this vision. It was beyond understanding." That doesn't lend itself to a great message. You know, when the author himself says, "This is hard to understand," you know, it doesn't always translate well. So I have made the decision not to do a full sermon on this, but it is a really fascinating, albeit complicated, look at what's to come in the future. So I am going to share with you, if you are willing to sit with me for a few minutes, what's happening here in Daniel chapter 8. Let me read it to you. Daniel 8, starting in verse 1. "In the third year of King Belshazzar's reign, I, Daniel, had a vision after the one that I had already had." So again, we're back in time. Daniel, during the first year of Belshazzar's reign, had the dream about the four beasts and the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man. Now, 2 years later, he's having this one. Verse 2, "In my vision, I saw myself in the citadel of Susa in the province of Elam. In the vision, I was beside the Ulai Canal. I looked up, and there before me was a ram with two horns standing beside the canal, and the horns were long. One of the horns was longer than the other, but the other grew up later. I watched the ram as he charged towards the west and the north and the south. No animal could stand against him. None could rescue from his power. He did as he pleased, and he became great." As I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between his eyes came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. He came toward the two-horned goat I saw standing at the canal and charged at him in great rage. I saw him attack the goat, the ram, furiously, striking it and shattering his two horns. The ram was powerless to stand against him. The goat knocked him to the ground and trampled on him, and none could rescue the ram from his power. The goat grew very great. But at the height of his power, his large horn was broken off, and in its place, four prominent horns grew up towards the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them came another horn, which started small, but grew in power to the south and to the east and toward the beautiful land. It grew until it reached the host of heaven, and it threw some of the starry host down to the earth and trampled upon them. It set itself up to be as great as the prince of the host. It took away the daily sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was brought low. Because of rebellion, the host of the saints and the daily sacrifice were given over to it. It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said, "How long will it take for this vision to be fulfilled? The vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the rebellion that causes desolation, the surrender of the sanctuary, and the host that will be trampled underfoot." And he said to me, "It will take 2,300 evenings and mornings, and then the sanctuary will be reconsecrated." So just to recap, we've got a ram with long horns that rampages around the countryside, and nobody can stop it. Then out of nowhere, a goat who himself has a long, he's like a unicorn goat, got a long horn coming out of his head. He comes and smashes into the ram and destroys it. At the height of his power, though, the goat's horn is broken, and four more horns come out. And then out of that one horn comes another that grows in power and attempts to rival God for supremacy, right? He tries to take the place of God. He tries to usurp the heavens, and when he fails at that, well, he decides to overthrow the worship of God in the temple. He forbids sacrifices for 2,300 evenings and mornings. At this point, Daniel is probably going, "Somebody, please just tell me what's going on." And fortunately, somebody comes along and does explain. Verse 17, this person says, "Son of man, understand that the vision concerns the time of the end. I am going to tell you what will happen in the time of wrath, because the vision concerns the appointed time of the end." Okay, so we're dealing with end time stuff. We're dealing with the end of the age, the same period that Revelation is dealing with. Verse 20, "The two-horned ram that you saw represent the two kings of Media and Persia." So Daniel, who is currently in Babylon, gets advanced knowledge that there is another kingdom that is going to come. So that might be what gives him the boldness to talk to Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5 and say, "Hey, your days are numbered," right? Because Daniel has had this dream, knowing that the Medes and the Persians are coming in to get them. The shaggy goat is the king of verse 21. The shaggy goat is the king of Greece. The large horn between his eyes is the first king. The four horns that replace the one that was broken off represent four kingdoms that will come from his nation, but will not have the same power. "In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, master of intrigue, will arise. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the prince of princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. The vision of the evenings and mornings that has been given to you is true, but seal it up, for it concerns the distant future." Verse 27, "I, Daniel, was exhausted and lay ill for several days. And then I got up and got about the king's business," he says. "But I was appalled by the vision because it was beyond understanding." Okay, so Daniel took in all of this and felt exhausted. How about you? Exhausted? Confused? It's complicated, right? But now, with the unfolding of history and with God's word, we can kind of look back on the things that were to come from Daniel's point of view and understand, at least in part, what's going on here. So let me break it down for you. The two-horned ram, that's the Medes and the Persians, okay? The horn is a symbol of power in the ancient Near Eastern world. And so you've got two powers, the Medes and the Persians, coming together. It's kind of like Kitchener-Waterloo. The Medes and the Persians joined together as one administration. But the Persians were always more powerful. And so that's why that first horn is a little bit stronger. The Medes and the Persians are the ones who will come up and gobble up Babylon in Daniel chapter 6. The Medes and the Persians, though, and much of the rest of the world were gobbled up by the goat, and that is it's Alexander the Great. The goat is none other than Alexander the Great. He took over the ancient Mediterranean world, like from Greece to India, in a stunningly short period of time. So quick, in fact, that it was like his feet never touched the ground. But when Alexander died, the empire was broken into four pieces. Each of his generals took a piece. And so that's where you get the Seleucids and the Antigonids and the Ptolemies. Cleopatra was a Ptolemy, a descendant of one of Alexander's generals. From the Seleucids, though, from a different general, came a ruler who thought himself the very incarnation of Zeus. And so he was called Antiochus Epiphanes, like Antiochus the Appearance. He was a bold and flamboyant guy, Antiochus the Fourth. Among the various exploits that he got up to, he outlawed worship in the temple in Jerusalem. He actually tried to convert the Jewish temple in Jerusalem to a temple to Zeus, and went so far as to sacrifice a pig on the altar of Yahweh. And of course, that is an abomination to God, to the Hebrew understanding of what is holy and what is not. Antiochus IV was eventually overthrown, and God's people continued to worship God. That horn, then, was put down, the big horn that rose out of them. Daniel didn't know all of that, though. He was sitting in Babylon, and that was still yet to come in the future. From our vantage point, though, we can look back and say, wow, God called it. That is exactly what happened. The ram, the goat took out the ram, and then from the goat came this particularly annoying horn who tried to overthrow God, but he was himself overthrown. But here's the thing. This being apocalyptic prophecy, there is still more to it than what's already happened. All right, verse 17, Daniel says, this is what will happen in the end, but clearly the end has not happened yet, and so there is an end yet to come. Apocalyptic prophecy always has an already and a not yet component to it, something that has already happened and something parallel to it that is yet to come. And the New Testament actually agrees with what Daniel says here. In Matthew 24, Jesus speaks his own apocalyptic prophecy, and I'll paraphrase here. Verse 5, he says, many will come, claiming to be the Christ, but they will deceive many, just like Antiochus Epiphanes did. Verse 9, you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Jesus anticipates that there's going to be another Antiochus IV, the sort of big one yet to come. And Paul actually refers to him in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4 as the Antichrist. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, Paul says, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. What Antiochus IV did in Jerusalem, the Antichrist will do again on a cosmic level in an attempt to overthrow God. And we see that reflected in Revelation 13, right? There is a beast who comes along, he deceives many, he sways them to worship himself rather than God. All of this to say that what has happened, what's here in Daniel 8 has happened in part in history and will happen in full at the end of the age. So when this era is over, God knows when, literally, the Antichrist, a sort of Antiochus IV on steroids, will come and will attempt to wrench people's loyalty away from God. He will deceive them. He will overthrow attempts to worship the Lord, and he will succeed in many ways. He will pollute the worship of God and persecute the people of God. But just when it seems that he is winning, God will brush him off, just the same way that you'd brush a mosquito off your arm. And God's people will ultimately dwell with him in eternity. That, I think, is the message at the heart of Daniel 8. You know, as a history guy, I find the historical parts incredibly fascinating, to see how accurate these things are, how they're lined up with lived history. But the historical details here are not what's really important. The most important thing is the knowledge that no matter what Satan cooks up, because the Antichrist is ultimately Satan's big plan, no matter what Satan cooks up, no matter how beastly or deceptive it is, nothing will triumph over God. Nothing will prevent the saints from triumphing and inheriting the kingdom. You know, we can draw confidence from the knowledge that God knows what's going on, that God knows what will go on, and we can prepare ourselves in advance, knowing what is yet to come. really, this mirrors quite closely something that Jesus says in John 15:1-4. You know, Jesus talks about his upcoming death and resurrection to his disciples. This same idea is at play here. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, they will think the hour is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Right? These things are coming. But we know, and God is in control, because the Bible tells us so. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.